So our scripture this morning, going to read from 1 John, just as Dorothy did, only a different chapter. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. And then from the very famous passage in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall we come before the Lord and bow myself down to God before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Micah says, no. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So, it's wrong to hate, right? Kind of obvious. We know it. Scripture tells us in many places. Dorothy read one of them. I read another one. In chapter 3 of John, it says that to hate a brother and sister is almost the same, or is the same, he says, as murdering someone, as killing them. Jesus tells us to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us. Jesus taught us both in word and in deed to love one another. Paul says to render no one evil for evil. These are just little snippets of what the gospel tells us, what the letter of Paul tells us, that we need to love one another, that that is God's inspired gift to us. But I have a confession that I do hate sometimes. I get so angry watching the television, the TV news, that I start yelling at the TV, and my poor dog goes, "What? What did I do?" I know what's wrong. I just have this feeling, this white head, anger just grows up in me, and I just can't stand it. But it's wrong. Hate can be soul-destroying if left unchecked. Like-minded haters can join together, such as the KKK, people scapegoating immigrants, the poor. Democrats can hate Republicans. Republicans hate Democrats. I think we can all agree that there's this mounting hate in our country, in our world. So I was reading in Quaker Life in the fall 2019 articles about justice. And there's one in there from Howard Thurman on hate. And you can imagine I was very interested to hear what he had to say. Howard Thurman was one of the very first African-American civil rights leaders. He, with a delegation of African-Americans, went to visit Gandhi to find out about nonviolent love and how to practice it. And that movement, or that meeting with Gandhi, was one of the catalysts of the civil rights movement. So this is what Howard Thurman had to say in hate, about hate. In his, this is excerpted from The Inward Journey, the writings of Howard Thurman. "The logic of the development of hatred is death to the spirit and disintegration of ethical and moral values. Above and beyond all else, it must be borne in mind that hatred tends to dry up the springs of creative thought in the life of the hater, so that his resourcefulness becomes completely focused on the negative aspects of his environment. The urgent needs of the personality for creative expression are starved to death. A man's horizon may become so completely dominated by the intense character of his hatred that there remains no creative residue in his mind, in his spirit, to give to great ideas, to great concepts. Jesus rejected hatred. It is not because he lacked the vitality or strength. It's not because he lacked the incentive. Jesus rejected hatred because he saw that hatred meant death to the mind, death to the spirit, death to communion with his Father. He affirmed life, and hatred was the great denial." It kind of reminds us of the hymn we first sang. Another danger of hatred, I think, is it can be cathartic. Sit and yell at the television, like me, for example. You almost feel like you've done something. And then when you realize you haven't done a thing, it just, you become a little bit depressed that you really haven't done anything about the cause that you were so angry about. So it kind of goes back to what Howard Thurman had to say, right? That anger, hatred dries up your spirit, dries up the creative energies of your mind and heart. So what do we do? We're going to be angry from time to time. It's part of our human condition. You can't deny the feelings. But when anger rears up and threatens all of our reason and making us think to blossom into this white-hot hate, what do we do? Well, I think maybe the first thing is to breathe. And this may sound a little simplistic, but we talk about breathing and counting to 10. When I was a singer, my teacher said, because I would be nervous about singing, right? Anxious. Of course, that's anxiety, hatred, that can kind of all feed together. She said, you need to have a quiet breath. Insist on a quiet breath. And so just try it. Try to breathe from your belly and see if that doesn't release a lot of anxiety, a lot of some negative feelings that you have. So what can we do? We can start with breathing. Then we can pray. Pray with humility and sincerity to ask God to see us through, to guide us to a better path. When we can cool down and think, anger may give us a little sense of what's wrong. But we need to cool down and think and pray for God to give us a path forward to resist evil. In order to do this, we need to spend time every day in centering prayer. Last week, Keith enjoined us to learn to meditate. Many techniques available to help us to clear our minds, so that we can listen more deeply to God. So pray, breathe, pray, and during the day, during our everyday practice, to to practice our centering prayer, like we're going to do here shortly. The key, I think, to all of this, to combat hatred in our lives, is to sincerely and with humility pray to God for those gifts. And I do have another confession, that I'm not always sincere in asking for those gifts, to release anger, to find a better path. Because I sometimes like that feeling of righteous indignation. But my righteous indignation is not the path to true humility. It's not the path to know the nonviolent love of Jesus. Today we read in Micah the very famous quote, "To do justice, what does God require of us, O mortal, but to do justice, to love mercy or kindness, and to walk humbly with our God." The foundation of mercy and doing justice is the walking humbly with our God. In Bible study, we've been reading a book called On Earth as It Is in Heaven by Eden Grace. And in this book, there are many stories, but one of the stories that we're just about to tackle is the story of Jay O'Hara, a young climate activist. And Jay O'Hara was very involved. He tried to do everything in his own strength, and he burnt out, became angry and upset. And let me just read some of his words. He founded a nonprofit organization to engage students in climate activism. He was doing good work, but he felt miserable. "I found myself burnt out, stressed out. The movement was suffering and I was suffering. You might be familiar with some of these characteristics. I was overworked with a feeling of inadequacy. I was tossing and turning at night, trying to understand where I had messed up and what I needed to do. What more could I exert in my life? I was blaming others, avoiding responsibilities. I was becoming harsh and judgmental, and it was clear that I was on the wrong path. It felt like we were pushing the boulder up the proverbial hill, and instead of starting the snowball rolling down. This led to my second dying, loss of hope that all my work and ideas and efforts could put an end, could at the end of the day make a difference. The loss of that hope. So I quit. I quit the organization that I helped to found. I quit the programs that I had started. I quit my colleagues with whom I had been laboring together for 3 years, and I withdrew. I waited. I withdrew, trying to find out a way to live authentically and with integrity into the crisis that confronts us." I thought this was very brave of this young climate activist. He had put his life blood into, for 3 years, into doing everything he could, but found out that it was coming to nothing. He was pushing that boulder up the proverbial hill, and nothing was working. So he withdrew. He tried, after quitting everything, Jay searched for a new path. And the book doesn't really tell us how long that search took, where he went, how he practiced. But as a Quaker, I'm sure he was working on his centering prayer. So in his prayer life, he found a new way forward, a way of humility, which he called staying low. These words of staying low come from one of the original Quakers of the 17th century, Isaac Pennington. Once again, let me read what Isaac Pennington said. I've read it several times, and it's just so, it's a beautiful, beautiful quotation. "Now this advice ariseth in my heart. Oh, keep cool and low before the Lord. that the seed, the pure living seed, may spring more and more in thee, and thy heart be united more and more to the Lord therein. Coolness of spirit is a precious frame, and the glory of the Lord most shines therein in its own luster and brightness. And when the soul is low before the Lord, it is still near the seed and preciously in its life, one with the seed. And when the seed arises, thou shalt have liberty in the Lord to rise with it. Only take heed of that part which will be outrunning it and getting above it, and so not ready to descend again, and keep low in the deeps with it. This admonition to stay low is an important part, I think, and it helps us to think about what it means to be one with the seed of Christ, one with the light that is within each one of us, so that that light, that seed, may shine forth. So in humility, we let the seed of God, the light of God, come forth from us. And it's helped me, this little phrase, staying low. Whenever I feel a little bit tempted to puff up myself, puff up my ego, I say, stay low. And I do hope and pray that I can use that same admonition when I feel that temptation to explode in anger and hate for something I see on TV or elsewhere. I hope and pray that God will give me the words to stay low when anger threatens to blossom into hate. Let us all pray with Micah to humbly walk before God so that we can seek justice and love kindness.